Welcome to Nature Backer Podcast, where we are talking about the green future. My name is Tarmo Virki, and today I'm delving into the topic of B Corp. Welcome to Nature Backer, Sarah.
Thank you very much.
Tell us, what is B Corp?
So B Corp is a movement of people using business as a force for good. I think if you think about the state of the world at the moment, the different crises we're facing, we feel that it is critical and essential that business, as a key stakeholder and a key actor in our system, to take action to drive change.
The movement, how long has it been going on, or where did it start from?
Yeah, so the movement started back in 2006 when our founders were becoming increasingly disillusioned by seeing purpose-driven companies change drastically after they either changed ownership, after they went public, after, you know, the direction of the CEO or the priorities of the CEO changed. So they wanted to address two things. One, how are we able to determine and assess the impact of the totality of a company? How they're doing in terms of how they treat their workers, the environment, customers, community, and governance. And second of all, how can we embed purpose in a company's mission, in a company's legal statutes, to ensure that mission is protected even when, you know, ownership changes, they go public, et cetera. So really embedding purpose within the legal DNA of a company. And essentially that is what that is when B Corp is born. And so certified B Corporations, or B Corps like we call them, are companies that are verified by BLEP to meet high standards of social and environmental performance, transparency, and accountability. And just to explain a little bit how that works, each B Corp, or every business, undergoes a rigorous assessment that takes a look at a company's impact on its workers, as I mentioned before, the environment, the communities in which it operates in, its customers, and also its governance. So essentially the way in which the business itself is run. And I think what's really important to highlight is that certification is just the beginning. Businesses embark on a journey of continuous improvement, and they're required to recertify every 3 years and show progress in the different areas. And so it's interesting to, I think it's important to note that we're now more than 7,700 B Corps around the world, more than 1,500 across Europe. And we feel like this is just the beginning. We're partnering with academia, with governments, coalitions to really drive economic systems change.
And typically, a B Corp is an usual company, right?
Yes. So B Corp certification is actually only available to for-profit businesses. So you need to be a distinct company. It's a company-wide certification. So for example, you can't certify a brand unless the brand is really its own legal entity. And that's essentially because of what I just mentioned. We want to assess the impact of a company, not a brand, not a division, et cetera.
Are global corporations also part of it? I mean, as you said, the brand is separate. We have a lot of global corporations which have some green brands in their offering, but at the same time, we know that they might have big challenges in some other areas.
So, yes, absolutely. So, the backbone and the foundation of the B Corp movement really started with small mission-driven SMEs, essentially, and actually still is. More than 95% of our community has less than 1,000 employees. So it's still very much an SME-led movement. However, I think more or less since 2015, we've seen a lot of momentum and interest in large companies and multinationals joining the movement. And there's a lot of work that we've done around. First of all, we think that they're a critical actor in driving systems change. So we want to work towards them to make them accountable, to increase their transparency, but to also follow the rigorous requirements that the BIA sets out. So on our website, you'll be able to see also the different steps and more rigorous steps that large enterprises need to undergo to make sure that we're really factoring in the risk that large companies and multinationals bring in their operations.
How is B Corp related to this big movement of ESG demands across the world?
Well, I think B Corp has been around, I think, even longer than right now. This ESG kind of hype, I think, also very much brought in by the important legislation that's coming in Europe. But I think the way that we see it is being transparent, using the B impact assessment to assess your impact across multiple areas can only prepare you to really be prepared for what's coming in terms of requirements from governments and in terms of what's coming from the European Union. It's a way to demonstrate to your stakeholders and also to the stakeholders that you're accountable, that you're committed to transparency, that the claims that you're making can be really backed up by evidence. So I think that it's a really powerful tool to be prepared for the governance and legislation that's coming.
You mentioned earlier that we talked a little bit about the global corporations. Who are the biggest B Corps of the world?
So it's a great question. I think one of the more iconic ones that you might know around the globe that are more recognized are Danone, who has embarked on its journey of certification since 2015. They have a goal of being completely certified by 2025. We also have Natura, which is a global beauty brand based in Brazil that has multiple brands loved by consumers all around the world. We have subsidiaries of Unilever certified as well, so that just to name a few big ones.
Exactly. But you mentioned with the Danone, it's a 10-year process. I mean, is that just because they are so big, or what's the logic there? Why it takes so long?
I think size is definitely one factor, but like I mentioned before, the B Corp process is simply extremely rigorous. Mm. So it's not only about, you know, filling out the assessment and going through verification. It's really about implementing the changes needed to be able to meet the rigor and the standards. So I think anybody within the company will tell you that it is essentially a journey. And so that's why for a company that size, 10 years might be quite a plausible amount of time.
What's in it for the companies? What do they say? Why do they, you know, certify as a B Corps?
So I think the thing that keeps on coming back time and again, because it's a company-wide certification, it essentially requires you to involve everyone from HR to finance to supply chain. You know, most certifications will either be, you know, supply chain focused or product focused. And so it's a very specific area of the company that's busy with it. B Corp certification really requires bringing everyone in, which is challenging, of course. It takes time, it takes energy, but at the end of the day, the reward is much, much larger when everyone within the company feels like they have contributed to the impact and to the certification of the company. I think a second one is to really show leadership in an increasingly competitive environment, showing your customers who are increasingly demanding that a company's purpose aligns with their own is a really important way to connect to your customers, but also to differentiate yourself. Another one is to build relationships. I mean, B Corps, when you become a B Corp, you join a movement of 7,500 companies taking leadership in the movement all around the world. And there's this very much this community peer element that I think is unequaled by any other certification. And so we time and again, we hear that that's one of the largest benefits. It also, because it's a framework of continuous improvement, you can really show and measure progress. So it's a really great tool to help sustainability managers, CEOs set targets, get companies excited about improving their impact. And lastly, and very importantly, I think this protecting mission bit, right? Like all B Corps are required to change their legal statutes to say that will take the interest of all stakeholders and not only shareholders. And so it's a really, really valuable framework, which really helps protect mission. And it's something, again, unequaled, I think, by other certifications.
The interesting point on all stakeholders, I wonder, does it kind of go against the legal structures maybe in some countries?
It's a great question. I think, again, the legal framework is one of the strongest. And we're working really hard to create this legal framework in more and more countries. And absolutely, I think it's a big impediment for some companies to join the movement. It's either not, there is either no legal pathway in their countries, or secondly, they have to convince their boards, their management teams to really change something that's very much ingrained in the economic culture at the moment, which is shareholder primacy. And so I think that's a huge demonstration of leadership and success when a company actually manages to put this through. And it really shows a long-term commitment to the values that it's kind of meant or publicizing to its stakeholders.
I wonder, is it a challenge for some publicly listed corporations? I assume it is, right?
It definitely is. It's a big hindrance, but we do have publicly listed B Corps. We have both, you know, private companies that became public while they were a B Corp. But we also have just public companies that were able to get this legal status pushed through and persevered.
Wow. What about the kind of the geographical footprint? You mentioned that all around the world, but I would assume that the I would say foothold would be larger in some parts of the world than the others.
So yeah, absolutely. We are now, there's currently B Corps in 90 countries around the world. I think the United States and Europe and Latin America being kind of the strongest foothold, but very much growing in countries like Australia, for example. We have great teams doing amazing work in Africa and in Asia. And so we feel like we're really just at the beginning. So it's 90 countries across 160 industries. So definitely a global footprint that we're hoping to grow in the near future.
The 7,500 companies, what's the kind of total market? I mean, millions of companies?
7,500 companies are B Corps. And I think just to give you an example, we in Europe, we're more than 1,500, and that employs 100,000 employees. 1,500, of course, is a very small share of the economy, so we have a lot of work to do. But I think the amazing and kind of more powerful number is how many people and employees are working at purpose-driven companies, and what is their scale and their ability to drive change, you know, beyond the companies that they work with. So we have a lot of work to do, and we really hope to become a much more, like to see more and more B Corps become the norm of the economy, essentially.
Shouldn't all companies be purpose-driven?
Shouldn't they be? Is that the question? 100%.
So there is a...
Yeah. I dream for a world where, you know, meeting these types of requirements is not necessarily only voluntary. I think that's why the work that we do with policy, we have a really interesting initiative, collective action called the Interdependence Coalition, where B Corps have come together to really advocate for legislation, for stakeholder governance legislation at a European level. Influencing policy and leveraging policy is one of our key drivers in our theory of change. And so we're completely convinced that our work with companies needs to be complemented by strong and meaningful legislation around the work that we do.
How far is their legal work on the EU level?
So there has been quite some progress achieved. I think if you look into the new updates lately around the directives at a European level, the wording, we've achieved a lot in terms of making sure that CEOs and companies are accountable for the people and planet, not only their bottom line. I do feel like it's very early days. There's still a lot. We could be a lot more rigorous. We could be a lot more ambitious. But I think it's incredible to see the leadership of some companies who are really pushing for this to just be more ambitious and more responding to the reality that we're living in, the climate reality that we're living in today.
Into 2024, what's the kind of the big challenge for you, or big milestone?
So it's a really great question, because we're undergoing a really critical process for the B Corp movement at the moment, which is the evolution of our standards. And just to give you some context there, continuous improvement is not only something that we advocate for companies, it's something that we take ourselves very seriously at B-Lab. We have updated our standards more than 6 times already since we started this. And in 2020, when we were going to do another relook to the B impact assessment, actually, from our stakeholder consultations, it became very evident that this review required a lot more than a simple, let's say, rethink update. Given the state of the world and given the urgency that we saw around us, an entire different look at how we measure our B Corps and the different standards that we set was necessary. So we undertook this process starting in 2020. We're about to launch our second consultation. So this is very much a process done together with our community, together with our stakeholders. And by the end of next year, we will be launching essentially the new standards for B Corp certification. We're moving towards a system where, from a point system, which we have at the moment, so all B Corps need to score at least 80 within the assessment. Now we're going to move towards a model of key core areas in which all B Corps need to be demonstrating leadership around. So all the information around the evolution of our standards are on our website. We invite anybody who feels like they have a lot, something to contribute in terms of insights, knowledge, advice, to be part of this consultation, because it's a big moment for our movement, and it's really going to change what it means to be a B Corp and what it means to take leadership in the impact space.
And sorry, just starting to wrap up, but why B Corp? Was A Corp taken, or was C Corp taken, or what's the logic there?
So B stands for benefit for all. And I think that stands at the very core. It's a good question. Not a lot of people know that. That really stands at the core of who we are, which is of an inclusive, regenerative and equitable system for all people and the planet. So it feels very connected to who we are. And so the B is now iconic. It's much loved. And it's here to stay, I think.
Good. Thank you so much for your time, Sarah.
Thank you so much, Dharma.
Electricast. Welcome to the Candle Power Hour. Come with us backstage, behind the scenes of show business spanning over four decades, and bringing you the experiences that can only be told by the people who were there.
Our guests are from the A-list, the F-list, and everyone in between. Get set for some of the most insane, hilarious, and inspiring stories you will ever hear.
I'm Mercury.
And I'm Diego.
Your host for the Candle Power Hour.
Welcome to Transforming 45, the podcast that celebrates the incredible power of passionate voices. I'm your host, Lisa Boat. Join me in conversation with heart-led humans who share their deeply personal stories of transformation. Transforming 45 is here to uplift, connect, and remind you that it's never too late to write your next chapter. So get ready to be inspired, empowered, and transformed. Join me in this community where, through powerful storytelling, we heal and reclaim our inherent magic.
Electricast.